Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Beyond the Divide. Today we're going to talk about something that can transform lives, literally. It's encouragement and the motivation to keep going when everything feels like it's lost. Yesterday we talked about discouragement and how easy it can worm its way into the simplest parts of our lives and make us feel like we're complete failures. So I want to talk about the flip side of that today and how to encourage each other and how to use the scriptures that God has given us to have faith in our ability to pick up the pieces and move forward. As Christians and as human beings, we're called to lift each other up, to be the helpmeet for those that God places in our paths, and to walk alongside one another through life's highs and lows. Encouragement isn't just a word or a pat on the back. It's a divine act that reflects God's love. Today, we're going to explore why encouragement matters, how God uses people to encourage us, and how we can be that light for others.
Rise above, we're breaking through. No more lies, just me and you. Hearts aligned, we'll find the way. Together, we'll seize the day. Beyond the divide. Chasing truth, till the fight is won. From the shadows to the light we strive. United we thrive, beyond the divide.
All right, guys, I have a question for you. When was the last time that someone's encouragement changed your day? Maybe it was a friend who texted you at just the right moment when you needed it, a coworker who believed in your potential, a family member who prayed for you during a difficult season. These moments stick with us, and they remind us that we're not alone. And as Christians, encouragement isn't optional for us, it's a calling. In Thessalonians, Paul writes, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." This verse is a charge to actively support and uplift those around us. It's not just about saying nice things, it's about building each other up so that they can stand firm in their faith and face life's challenges with courage. So think about it, guys. God did not create us to walk through life alone. We talked about this yesterday. From the very beginning in Genesis chapter 2, God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." While this verse is often tied to marriage, it also speaks of a broader truth that we are designed to be helpmeets or helpers for one another. Whether it's a spouse, a friend, a stranger, God places people in our lives to encourage us and for us to encourage them in return. Encouragement is like oxygen for the soul. It breathes life into weary hearts. And in Hebrews chapter 10, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So notice the urgency in this verse here. As the world grows more challenging, our job is to lift each other up, and that's becoming even more critical. So to see encouragement in action, let's talk about a powerful story from the Bible about a man named Barnabas. His name literally means the son of encouragement, and he lived up to it in a very big way. You can find this in Acts, chapters 4, 9, and 11. But I want to focus on a key moment in Acts 9. Okay? The streets of Jerusalem buzzed with whispers, a restless hum that carried both hope and fear. The early church, still tender like a seedling breaking through rocky soil, gathered in secret, their prayers rising like incense under the shadow of persecution. It was a time of miracles and martyrdom. of faith tested by fire. And in this crucible, two men, one known, one notorious, would meet, their lives entwined by God's hand to change the course of history. Barnabas was a Levite from Cyprus, walked through the city with quiet strength. His eyes, warm as the Mediterranean sun, seemed to see beyond the surface of things. They called him the Son of Encouragement, a name earned not by grand gestures, but by a heart that beat for others. He had sold his land to feed the poor, shared his home with weary believers, and spoken words that lifted souls from despair. To Barnabas, every person was a canvas for God's grace, and he carried a gift for seeing what others missed. On this particular day, the air was thick with tension. Word had spread like wildfire. Saul of Tarsus, the terror of the church, had returned to Jerusalem. Saul, whose name once struck fear into the believers' hearts, who had stood by as Stephen's blood soaked the stones, who had hunted Christians with a zeal that burned like a furnace. Now, rumors swirled that he had changed, blinded on the road to Damascus, touched by Christ himself. But could a wolf become a shepherd? The disciples huddled in their meeting place, their voices low, their doubts loud. Barnabas listened as fear painted their words. "He's a deceiver," one said, "a trap to lure us out." Their eyes darted to the door as if Saul's shadow might darken it at any moment. But Barnabas's heart stirred. He had heard of Saul's encounter with Jesus, of the scales that fell from his eyes, of the baptism that marked a new beginning. Where others saw a threat, Barnabas saw a spark, a fire kindled by God waiting to blaze for his glory. "I will go to him," Barnabas said, his voice steady, cutting through the murmur. The room fell silent, eyes widened, but none dared stop him. They knew Barnabas, his courage, his faith, his unyielding belief that God could redeem anyone. Saul sat alone in a small room on the edge of Jerusalem, the weight of his past pressing against him. The city that once cheered his zeal now shunned him. He had tried to join the disciples, to share the good news that burned in his chest, but their fear had barred the way. He couldn't blame them. His hands, though washed in baptism, still carried the memory of chains and cries. Yet Jesus' voice echoed in his soul. "He is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name." Saul clung to that promise, though doubt gnawed at him in silence. A knock at the door startled him. He rose, cautious, his heart pounding. The door creaked open and there stood a man with a weathered face and eyes that seemed to see straight through him. "Saul," the man said, his voice warm like a fire on a cold night, "I am Barnabas." Saul stiffened, expecting judgment, but Barnabas stepped forward, his hands open, not clenched. "I have heard what happened on the road to Damascus," Barnabas said. "I've heard how the Lord met you, how he called you. I believe him." Those words, simple yet heavy, landed like rain on parched ground. Saul's shoulders eased, his breath steadying. For the first time since Damascus, he felt seen, not as a persecutor, but as a brother. Barnabas sat with him, listening as Saul poured out his story, the blinding light, the voice that shattered his world, the days of darkness, and the moment Ananias had prayed for him. Barnabas nodded, his face alight with wonder, not suspicion. "God has done this," he said, his voice firm, "and he is not finished with you, Saul. The church needs to hear your story." Saul shook his head. "They won't listen. They're afraid of me, and they should be." His voice cracked, the weight of his past surfacing again. Barnabas leaned forward, his eyes blazing with conviction. "Fear doesn't get the last word, Saul. God does. And I will stand with you." He placed a hand on Saul's shoulder, a gesture so simple, yet so profound it felt like a covenant. "You are not alone in this." Days later, Barnabas led Saul to the apostles' gathering. The room hushed as they entered, eyes narrowing at the sight of the man they once fled. Whispers rippled, but Barnabas stepped forward, his presence a shield. "Brothers," he began, his voice steady but passionate, This is Saul. The Lord met him on the road to Damascus, called him, and filled him with his Holy Spirit. He's preached boldly in Damascus, proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. He spoke not as a defender, but as a witness, his words carrying the weight of truth. Peter and the others listened, their skepticism softening as Barnabas's faith filled the room. Saul stepped forward, his voice trembling at first, then growing bold as he shared his encounter with Christ. The apostles' eyes widened, their fear giving way to awe. Barnabas stood beside him, silent but steadfast, his presence a quiet declaration, "This man is one of us." From that day, Saul, later called Paul, found a place among the believers. Barnabas's encouragement had opened the door, and together they would carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. In Antioch, they taught side by side, building up the church, their friendship a testament to God's power to transform. Barnabas the encourager saw the fire in Paul when others only saw ashes. And Paul, the apostle, never forgot the man who believed in him when no one else would. Years later, as Paul penned letters to churches across the world, he would remember that moment in Jerusalem, the moment a man named Barnabas chose to see God's work in him. Every word he wrote, every journey he took, carried the echo of that encouragement. And in heaven, where the redeemed gather, Barnabas's name shines bright, not for fame, but for the countless lives he lifted up, one act of faith at a time. So let us all be like Barnabas, seeing potential where others see failure, speaking life where doubt prevails, and standing with those God calls to encourage. For in every heart there is a spark waiting to be kindled, and a story waiting to be told, with a purpose waiting to change the world. So after Saul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was transformed from a persecutor of Christians to a passionate follower of Christ. And Saul was a bad, bad guy. He murdered Christians. He had them arrested. He had them killed. Very famous in the area. Everyone was afraid of him. And so now all of a sudden he's coming to them and he's like, "I have been baptized and I am transformed." But the church was very skeptical and they were afraid of him. And it took Barnabas coming. In Acts chapter 9, we read, when Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. So Barnabas didn't just vouch for Saul, he risked his own reputation to stand by him. He saw potential where others saw a threat, and he encouraged Saul, connected him with the apostles, and helped launch one of the greatest ministries in history. Without Barnabas's encouragement, we may not have had the letters of Paul that make up quite a lot of the New Testament. So what can we learn from Barnabas? First, encouragement sees beyond the surface. Barnabas didn't just focus on Saul's past. He saw God's work in the present within him. And second, encouragement takes courage. It's not always easy to stand up for somebody or to speak life in a tough situation. But that's what God calls on us to do. And lastly, encouragement has a ripple effect. Barnabas's one act of faith changed Saul's life forever. It changed the early church and it changed generations of believers. Barnabas's story reminds us that God intentionally places people in our lives to encourage us and to be encouraged by us. Think about the people that God has put in your path. Maybe it's a mentor who believed in you, or a friend who prayed for you, or even a stranger who offered a kind word at just the right moment. These are not accidents. God orchestrates these connections to remind us of his presence in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. This is the beauty of having people in our lives. When we are discouraged, God sends someone to lift us up. And when others are struggling, he calls us to be their helpmeet. Isaiah chapter 41, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And for me, this scripture is about more than just needing strength from God. Everything in the scriptures is so much deeper than what it appears on the surface. So when you turn to the scriptures, remember there's always more than one side to what God is telling us. You might turn to the scriptures as the one needing help. Someone else might turn to the scriptures as the helpmeet. And this verse should speak to all of us. No matter which side we're on, whether we be the helpmeet or the helped in the situation, God is with all of us always. And sometimes being the helpmeet is hard. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to step in to ease the burden or uplift the downtrodden. But just as God is with the downtrodden in their lowest moments, he is with those that he has sent to help even more. So call on that. Have faith that he'll be with you and that you will have the words to speak and the means to carry out whatever God has put you on this earth for. Because somebody out there needs your very specific encouragement and only you can deliver it. So who has God placed in your life to encourage you, and who is he calling you to encourage? There are people all around us every single day, coworkers, family members, strangers on the bus, on the subway, on the street corner. A kind word, a smile. Don't underestimate the power of a simple act to be the encouragement that that person needs in that moment. So how do we live this out in practical life? How can we become encouragers like Barnabas? Okay, first of all, listen. Listen with love. Put down your phone. Pay attention. Listen and then respond. Sometimes the best encouragement is simply listening. James chapter 1 reminds us to be quick to listen and slow to speak. So when somebody shares their struggles with you, hear them out without rushing to fix it. Sometimes we're not always meant to fix things. And this can be really hard because for a lot of us, we want everyone in our lives to just be happy and for everything to be going great for everybody. And so we want to fix it. And so while they're, pouring out their hearts to us, our minds are already reeling with how we can fix this for them. But that's not what it's about. And sometimes we aren't meant to fix it. We need to remember that the refiner is working on all of us all the time. And sometimes we just need to be there to walk with the person and not carry them. Okay, speak life. Proverbs chapter 16 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So a kind word, a compliment, a scripture shared at just the right time can change someone's perspective completely on a situation. Act intentionally. Encouragement does not have to be a grand gesture. You can write a note, you can send a text, you can pray with someone. Small actions can make a big impact. And ultimately, our encouragement should reflect Christ's love. Share scriptures, pray for others, and remind them that God is with them. God never abandons us. There are times in our lives that we feel like we are walking the path alone, but we're not. And when we look back on that highlight reel of our lives, we're going to see that we were not alone. And we're going to see all of these little things, all of these people that have been put into our lives, and all of the lives of the people that we have been put into. And all of that is going to come into this one giant understanding. And it's going to be like, holy cow, that lady that I smiled at on the street corner had a wonderful day because someone acknowledged that she was there. And you're going to see that. And it's all going to come together and it's all going to make sense. Encouragement is a gift that we are called to give. As Christians, we are ambassadors of Christ's love. And as humans, we are connected by our shared need for hope. Even if you're not a Christian, you need hope. And you need to give hope to other people. We crave human connection. We were not made to be alone. We were made to create connections, and our souls yearn for the connection to other people. God places people in our lives and places us in people's lives to walk through discouragement together. He calls us, just like Barnabas, to be bold, to be faithful, and to be life-giving. I want to leave you guys with one final verse from Romans chapter 15. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. Glorify God by lifting each other up. So go out there today, be an encourager. Share this episode with somebody who needs a boost. Let's spread hope together. If you've been encouraged by this episode and you feel moved, I pray that you will share it with others. Drop a message, share your story. I'd love to hear it. And have a beautiful day, you guys. The rain is coming again where I live, but for now the sun is rising and it's going to be warm today. And anytime you guys feel doubt creeping in, just remember, the sun is always shining somewhere. Even during our darkest nights and our hardest trials, the sun never stops shining. It's just waiting for us to be ready to feel its warmth. Have a great day, you guys. Keep shining, keep encouraging, and keep pointing others to the faith.